Glad to see you all out this evening. We shall be here tomorrow night, if the Lord will. And I am thinking very seriously about speaking tomorrow night on what we think about. In other words, we're going to talk about what we think about, our thought life. And there's nothing so personal, so private, as our thought life. I want to talk about that tomorrow night, because the Bible's very, very full of what we think about. It talks a lot about our thoughts. So I'm considering talking about that tomorrow night. But tonight I want to talk about something else. And by way of opening our subject, I want you to read with me in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5. Now that's near the end of your Bible, quite near the end. The last book of the Bible is Revelation, and back from that is the little book of Jude of one chapter. Behind that is John, the three epistles of John, and then Peter. First Peter, chapter 5. First Peter, chapter 5. And we shall read from verse 7. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now I want to talk tonight about your adversary, the devil, as Peter calls him here. And he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. The Apostle James says, chapter 4, verse 7, I think it is, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You say, well, I wish I could. Well, I want to show you how it's done. I want to bring to your attention a man who fooled the devil. What I call outclassing, outwitting, outmaneuvering, outwitting the devil. The devil is very real. And if you don't believe it, just ask those that worship him, because our country is getting more and more full of them. They're worshiping Satan. They acknowledge he's the enemy of God. They acknowledge he's the prince of the power of the air. They acknowledge that he's the prince of darkness. And so he is. And yet they worship him. And their whole congregations that worship him. Well, you know, whatever you worship, by some secret law of the soul, a person always becomes more and more like what you worship. So be careful what you worship. We are to worship God, as the Lord Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now I want you to turn to the Old Testament, and I want you to read about a man who, like we were talking about last night, had a God that was big enough for him to resist the devil. And mind you, this man that I'm going to read about never once talks about the devil. Turn to the book of Job. Now Job comes right before the Psalms, just the next book to the Psalms, and the Psalms is right in the middle of your Bible. So if you get to Psalms, you just back up to the book of Job in chapter 1. Now this is God's divinely inspired word, like all the Bible is. You can trust it to the very last ditch. You can depend upon it. It'll always stand behind you. Doesn't matter what people say, It's what the Bible says. So I say when you read the Bible, notice what it says. The important thing about the Bible is what it says. Now I'm going to read about this man. We're just going to read chapter 1 and part of chapter 2, but we're just going to go little by little. We're not going to read it all. I'm going to start at verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Now, the land of Uz is in the land of Edom, and Edom is Esau. And Job was a son of Esau. Actually, he was a great-great-grandson of Esau. Well, Job's father was Zerah, and Job's grandfather was Reuel, the father of Zerah, and Job's great-grandfather was Esau. So Job is an Edomite. He comes from Esau, and Esau was the son of Isaac. So he's right of the lineage of Abraham and Isaac. And Esau's brother, of course, was Jacob. And Job came through Esau. So he's an Edomite. So he wasn't a Jew. He wasn't a Hebrew. As such, he was an Edomite. Now that proves one thing, that Job didn't know anything about the law of Moses. Moses wasn't even born when Job was here. Job lived, probably, judging from the genealogy, Job lived while the children of Israel were down in Egypt. Okay? But he was in the land of Edom. He wasn't in Egypt. He was away east of Egypt. Anyway, just I want you to see what kind of a man he was. Now, there's no book in the Bible like the book of Job in this way that there are 42 chapters about this one man. And there's no other book in the Bible just quite like it. That many chapters about one man. But that's how much God was willing to spend of this holy book on that one man. And as we look into chapter 1, you'll see why. Okay? There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. That means he avoided evil. He kept away from it. Now, if you look at those four things, perfect, upright, one that feared God, and eschewed evil, if you look at those four statements, you'll find that it's four ways of saying the same thing. Because you won't get anybody to avoid evil in all its forms unless that person fears God. And that is why evil, wickedness, is on the increase in our world today. Because there are less and less who fear God. And if you don't fear God, the God of heaven, if you have no fear of the God of heaven about you, you'll never find another reason big enough to do what's right. You won't find one big enough, I say, to do what's right. But here's a man who feared God. And this is God's, what I call God's mini biography of Job. Now, when God says a man is a perfect man, that doesn't mean he's sinless. God never means that with a man. Only the Lord Jesus was sinless, absolutely sinless in this world. But he was an all-round man, dependable man. You could trust him. He was upright. He feared God, and he avoided every kind of evil. Well, you can depend on him. A man like that in the world, the devil doesn't like him. Because the devil is out to propagate evil. The devil's out to encourage people to be wicked. Because the devil wants to laugh at God. And he'll incite people to any and every kind of evil in order to laugh at God. And I want to say this to the Christians. If ever you feel that you're a target of the devil, I want you to know that's a compliment. If you didn't bother the devil, he wouldn't bother you. But the Christian in the world today is a nuisance to the devil. Because as the Lord Jesus said about those who follow him, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. And salt is a preservative, a natural preservative. And we're the light of the world. And light shows up the darkness, shows up the evil, shows up the dirt. If there's no light, you don't notice the dirt. The more light, the more conscious you are of the dirt. I know my wife's always complaining about the sun shining on her windows. They always look terrible. She never can seem to get them clean enough to please her. Well, when you look at the window, you don't look at it with the sunshine on, because that's just not fair. It's just awfully difficult to get windows to look clean when the sun's shining on it. But the more light you know, the Lord Jesus said, whatever doth make manifest is light. And that is why the world at large doesn't like the Christian. Because the Christian in the world shows up the evil that there is in the world. That's this man here. Now notice what it says about it. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. So he had 10 children. His substance also, that is his, in those days, of course, substance was cattle and that. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen, that's 1,000 oxen, of course, and 500 she-asses and a very great household. Now that's servants. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now in all that part of the world, there wasn't a man as great, as powerful, as wealthy, that's what it means, as wealthy as Job was. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels. Well, here's a man, if he's got 7,000 sheep, there's one thing sure, he's in the wool business. And he's in the meat business. And a man with 3,000 camels, they were his transports, you know, they were his long haul jobs, and that was a lot of transport. 3,000 transports, that's what they were for. They weren't just for fun. You know, a man doesn't have 3,000 camels just for fun. Those were his transports, were bringing, carrying goods to other parts and bringing goods from other parts. And he had 3,000 of them. So he was in the transportation business. He was in the long and the cottage business. And he had 500 yoke of oxen, and they were for farming, so he was in the farming business. 500,000 oxen. I've seen lots of oxen down in Cuba they plow with, and there's nothing plow like oxen. They're just strong, as they say, strong as an ox. Well, that's exactly what they are. And for a man to have 500 of them, he's a big-time farmer. And he had 500 she-asses, 500 female donkeys. So these were his little pickups, eh? For all little short haul jobs, running around, you know, all over his farm. You know, and there'd be a lot of odd jobs to run, a lot of running around, you know, with that much farm and that many camels and that many sheep. So these were the little pickup jobs, you know, and he had 500 of them. So what it says, he was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now here's what we would call a multimillionaire. This man's a multimillionaire. And at the same time, he's a man who fears God. Now, when you get a man like that, you can depend on one thing. The devil doesn't like him. The devil doesn't like anybody that fears God. Never. And so the devil's going to be after him, you see. Now, watch what happens. Verse 4, and his sons went and feasted in their houses. Now, this is important, these next two verses that we're reading here, 4 and 5. Because it's about his children. His sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, that is, took turn, maybe their birthday or something, all 10 of them, and they had their turn, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now here's a man, he's got 10 children, and when those 10 kids get together, like all brothers and sisters, they're not just always careful of their language. And this father, knowing his children, he says, it may be that my sons have sinned and curse God in their hearts. In their hearts. Now this curse God doesn't mean the way we mean it today. It's a strange word. I'm not going to worry about it too much. But you can take it from me. It's a word. It doesn't mean curse God. It means they weren't careful how they used the name of God. They were a little careless in their language.
He says, it may be. He didn't say, I know those rascals, they're up to no good. He didn't say that. He said, it may be that they have cursed God in their hearts. And so sinned. And so, this man, recognizing his responsibility before his God for his children, he goes to his God and he offers a sacrifice to his God for each one of his children. Now that is becoming every father to recognize his responsibility before God for his children. God holds all parents responsible for their children. Same as God holds all husbands responsible for their wives. God holds us responsible. We have to answer to Him. And that is why we have to train our children in the fear of God. Train them to love God, to trust God every day, to know Him, and to love Him. And so that's the kind of man Job was. Way back in those days, he did what was the right thing to do in his day. All right, now watch this. Verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now let's stop here a minute. There was a day when the sons of God, sons of God in the Old Testament never refers to people. The term in the Old Testament always refers to angels. Always. And here's the angels appearing before God and Satan with them. Because Satan is an angel. He's one of God's angels that God created in the beginning and rebelled against his maker and took a lot of the other angels with him. And the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Where do you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Now, why is Satan, an angel, going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it? Why? Because this is where God's interests are. And wherever God's interests are, Satan is there to destroy it. Always. He's always out to destroy the work of God. That's why Satan's out to destroy man. He's out to destroy God's kingdom. He's out to destroy God's assembly. Always. That's why he says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about. And here it is way back 2,000 years before. Peter said anything about it. And he says to the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. You imagine God, the God of heaven, looking the devil right in the eye and saying, have you had your eye on my servant Job? Have you noticed him? There's not a man like him in the earth. This is up in heaven, going on between the Lord and the devil. Having a conversation here. God says, there's nobody in the earth like my servant Job. My servant Job, notice, my servant Job, he wasn't a preacher, he wasn't a prophet. He was a big businessman. But he was a man who feared God. And God says, my servant Job. You noticed him? Have you had your eye on him? Well, God knew that he had his eye on him. Verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, watch this. Doth Job fear God for naught, for nothing? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. How's that again? Here's the devil, the enemy of God, and the enemy of man. And what's he saying? God says, have you noticed my servant Job? Job says, Father Satan says, you think he fears you for nothing? Look what you've done for him. You got a hedge around him. And you got a hedge around his family, his whole house. And you got a hedge around everything that he's got. Now what that means? That means that Satan couldn't get anywhere near him. He couldn't touch him. He couldn't get near him. He got a hedge around. Mind you, that wasn't a big high brick wall, stone wall that Job had built to keep the devil out. You don't keep the devil out with strong with walls. It's only God that can keep the devil out. But there was a hedge there that Satan called it. There was a hedge there that he couldn't get through. And he couldn't get under it. And he couldn't get over it. So he just had to stay outside. And he couldn't touch that man Job. He couldn't touch a hair on a sheep's back that belonged to Job. Why? Because God wouldn't let him. Those hedges. My, wouldn't it be nice if we all had a hedge like that, eh? Around us. And around our house, our family, our business. And around everything that we've got. Wouldn't that be great? I want to tell you something, Christian. You think you're less than Job? Belonging to Christ? And you're less than Job? Do you remember what the Lord said to Peter one day? He said, Simon, Satan has asked for you, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. How's that again? Satan has asked for you. That word asked is the word begged. He demanded you. He wants you. He wants to get his hand on you. What for? To sift you as wheat. He wants to shake the life out of you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to ruin you. He has asked for you. What? You mean that Satan's got to ask for Peter? Oh, yeah. Why? Peter doesn't belong to the devil. He can't do whatever he likes with the Lord's children. He can't do it. And so he goes to the Lord and asks permission. Satan has asked for you. You know, Christian, the devil can't do whatever he likes with you. If he could, you'd have been ruined long ago. And so would I. He'd just love to get his hands on me and ruin me. And he always aims for the top. He always aims for the teachers and the leaders of God's people and God, and the elders in God's assembly. They're the ones he aims at first. Because if he can wreck them, the rest is easy. And that's what he's after. That's what he's after. And he doesn't care how he does it. But he can't get his hands on it. He couldn't touch a hair on Job's camels until God gave him permission. And here he is, see? Satan says, look what you've done. You've put hedge around him and his house and now everything he's got. You've blessed the works of his hands. His substance is increased in the land. Nothing wrong goes wrong. His fields produce bountifully and his cattle produce and reproduce and everything's going fine. Why, it's just like paradise for Job. He's just having it great. Nothing happens. No disease, no storms, no cyclones, no trouble, no floods. Everything's rosy for him. And then Satan says, verse 11, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. How is he so sure? Well, you know, God gives you all these nice things, and if you lose it all, aren't you going to curse God? At least that's what the devil would do. And that's what he would expect anybody to. That's what he thinks. That's what he thinks anybody would do. If your house burns to the ground, ours burnt to the ground once, we lost everything we had except what we had in the suitcase. What are you going to do? Going to curse God? What would this man do? Well, that's what, Satan says, you touch everything he's got, and he'll curse you to your face. Oh yeah? Listen to verse 12. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself, put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth in the presence of the Lord. Why? He's got what he was after. God has taken away two of those hedges. The hedges around all that he hath, and the hedge about his family, about his household. God says, don't you touch him. Upon himself, put not forth thine hand. God wouldn't let devil touch Job himself. By the way, do you notice that the devil cannot do anything without God's permission? That's why I give out that hymn tonight. God is stronger than his foes. In vain Satan doth oppose, for God is stronger than his foes. I think it was last night, wasn't it, I was saying? Do you think there's a battle between God and the devil, and it kind of looks as though the devil's winning? Well, forget it. God never loses anything. And the devil never wins anything. It may seem in the battle like he's winning some of the skirmishes, but listen, the outcome of the whole of the war is in God's hands, and the God of heaven never loses anything. God can't lose. He doesn't have to lose. Everything, the whole vast universe of God, that's what kind of a God we've got. That's how big our God is. And if you've got a God anything smaller than that, you pick the wrong God. You better get the right one. Because our God is a big God, He's a great God, and He cares for His people. He has hedges around them, and the devil can't touch them without God's permission. So there God said, now don't you touch him, but I'll take those other two hedges away. So Satan went forth in the presence of the Lord. Why? He got what he wanted. Okay, now you watch. We're going to read. Verse 13. There was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. There came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans, that's some of Job's neighbors, the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell them. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell them. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans, that's Job's neighbors on the other side, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell them. While he was yet speaking, they're all lined up there at Job's door, waiting to pour out their tale of woe. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell them. Now, if you think that's not enough disaster in one day, you don't need any more. This man, in one day, is absolutely ruined. And who did it? The devil. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. It just never happened. How come the Chaldeans never thought of raiding Job's camels long before this? How come the Sabaeans over here, Job's neighbors, how come they never thought of raiding Job's property before? The oxen and the asses feeding beside them. How come they never thought of it before? Never even thought of it. But now, they just decide, all of a sudden they decide to raid Job and carry off his cattle. You know, let me tell you something, Christian. In Exodus 34, where God told the children of Israel that they were to come up to Jerusalem three times a year, all their males, all their men, were to come up to worship God in Jerusalem. Every year, without fail. Every one of them. All together. All at once. At a certain time. Now, what are the men going to think? Oh, sure. Our women and children left there. Everything wide open for our enemies to walk in. We're all up here worshiping God in Jerusalem, and our enemies just walk in and help themselves. And nobody to defend our women and our farms and that. You know what God said? God knew what they would think. Do you know what God said? God said, you do what I tell you. You come up to Jerusalem and worship me as I tell you. And by the way, don't forget, God's commandments are never God's suggestions. They're not recommendations. When God says to do a thing, He means it to be done. And nothing else. God said, you know what God said? He says, your enemies won't desire your land. They won't even want. What does that mean? That means that God has it in His power and His ability to restrain the evil ambitions of men. And He does. If God didn't restrain the wickedness of this world, man would have destroyed himself long ago. He would have completely destroyed himself. You know, we're worrying about somebody pushing the wrong button and starting an atomic war in this world and wiping us all out. Forget it. They're not going to do it. No, they're not. How do you know? Because God has his hand on that button, and nobody can push that button until the God of heaven says so. It's in his hand. This world is not man's world. It's God's world. And there's a lot of things that man would do, a lot of things we thought was going to happen that never happened. Why? Because it's the God of heaven that's restraining. He has the reins of evil in his hands. Now you can say, why doesn't he restrain more? Why does he allow evil to multiply so much? Listen. God is letting man, loosening the reins. He's letting the reins go. You read Romans chapter 1. You know what it says there? It says, because they did not want to have God in their thinking, in their knowledge, God gave them up. God gave them up. Therefore, to defile their own bodies, to ruin their own bodies. And that's exactly what's happening in the world today. Let me tell you something. Every culture from the beginning of the world till this day that legalized or recognized, allowed homosexuality, that was the last straw. That nation is absolutely doomed to destruction and disintegration. And that's what's going to happen. You watch my words. I know what I'm talking about because I've got the word of God behind me. And it's been like that for 6,000 years. No nation has ever been able to legalize or recognize homosexuality and get away with it. That is a violation of all that God ever intended man to do. And man is God's creature. And he cannot do what he likes. And it doesn't matter what the popular opinion polls say. It's the God of heaven that man has to answer to. And he's going to, every man's going to answer to his God one of these days and pay the price. The wages of sin is death. These nations, these neighbors of Job, they couldn't touch it until God gave the devil permission. And he goes and he instigates them. He encourages them. He gives them ideas. He injects ideas into their minds. They get out. Oh, they all of a sudden they thought, hey, this would be a good idea. Just think it. I was just thinking. It'd be a good idea. Let's walk in and help ourselves. That man Job, he can't stop. He can't do anything. He hasn't got enough to defend himself. They never thought of it before. Why? God. That's why. Because God. You know the Bible says, the wise man Solomon said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And God does. God can. Just whenever it pleases him. We're in God's hands. Total. And here's a man who's in God's hands. Now you watch. What's Satan out to do? He's out to get this man to curse his God. And here he is now. He's ruined him. He's killed his 10 children. He's taken all his camels, all his sheep, fire from me. Satan brought down fire from heaven. He can do it. Brought down fire from heaven, burned up all the sheep and all the servants, the shepherds that were looking after him. And the neighbors, his enemies on both sides, they robbed him and cleaned out everything else. And his 10 children are dead. Whipped up, Satan whipped up a big twister in the wilderness, headed it straight for the corner of that house. The whole thing fell and buried them. They're all dead. Nice, eh? One day. That's not just a fairy story. That actually happened. And the apostle records it. And the prophet Ezekiel records it. It actually happened. This isn't just a fairy story. This is actually what happened. So what happened? Okay, let's look. Verse 20. Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, as for mourning, and fell down upon the ground. And what? How did this man Job express his worship? There you watch. Listen very carefully. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return to thee. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Of course he did. What did he say? He says, listen, when I came into this world, my hands were clean. I had nothing. I had absolutely nothing. And if I've ever had anything in this world, and he had plenty, he says, the Lord gave it. And if I today, if I'm going to leave this world now, for it was all, as far as he could, he was all up with it. If I'm going to leave this world with my hands just as clean as when I came into this world, the Lord has taken away.
what he said. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. And then what he said? Blessed be the name of the Lord. What does that mean? He's saying, Lord, I came into this world with nothing. You've given me plenty. I've got nothing today. It's all gone. You did it. You gave it to me. You took it away. What did he say? He says, you've got the right to do it. You have the right to do it. You're within your rights to do whatever you want to do with me. You gave me life. You gave me being. You gave me all this property, all this cattle, all these animals. And now you've taken it all away. You've got a right to do it. You know, friend, the devil can't understand a person like that. He can't understand why anybody would still trust their God after they've been ruined. You know what I call this? I call this a classic sample of the battle of the ages. What's involved? What's it all about? I'll tell you what it's about. Will a man trust his God no matter what? That's what the issue is about. The devil can ruin it. He can take everything away from it and utterly destroy it. He's got nothing, including 10 children. They're dead in one day. He says, Lord, you did it, and you've got the right to do it. Do you know, my friends, there's a man who's got a God that's big enough for him. He's big enough for the man. And you watch. God in heaven has declared, them that honor me, I will honor. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You and I in here in Canada, we're living a little paradise. You know, we lived in Cuba for 20 years. As I'm telling you, we lived in just a little house with a tin roof and mud floors. And you know, the Cubans thought we were millionaires. Things we had that they didn't have. And compared with them, we were rich. But that's not Canada. And nobody's allowed, you're not allowed to be hungry in Canada. Not allowed. You can walk into any police station in this country of Canada and tell the policeman in this police station, I'm hungry. And he's got to feed you. He absolutely has to feed you. Nobody's allowed to be hungry in our country. There's 35 million starving in Africa. When we lose some of our nice things, what do? We get mad. Blame this one, blame the other one. Blame God. What do you do that for? What have I done to deserve all this? That person hasn't got a God that's big enough for him. Here's a man who knew what kind of a God he had. He says, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Why? He didn't say the devil's taken away. It was the devil that took it away. It was the devil that ruined him. God just handed everything over to the devil, and he wrecked him. He didn't say anything about the devil. He never complained about the devil. He said, Lord, you did it, and you have the right to do it. And you can read all 42 chapters of this book. Job does not talk about the devil ever. Talks about his God. And you know, he says further on in chapter 15, verse 13, I think it is, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Now I want you to, we're going into the next chapter, I want you to notice very carefully what it says. This is very important. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Satan is a dependent creature, and he must give account to his maker. He must give account to his maker, the Lord. So Satan came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Now watch this next verse. Of course, Satan's talking just as though nothing had happened, eh? This is what he said before it all started. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Now that's exactly what God said before. Hasn't changed a word. But he's got something to add, I notice. And still he holdeth fast his integrity.
although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Is that plain English? What's God saying? Or what does he say? This man hasn't changed. Even though you move me against him to destroy him without a cause. Now those are important words. I'll tell you why. Listen to what God says, talking to the devil, to Satan. Thou movest me against him to destroy him. What's God saying? He's taking the full responsibility. He's taking full blame for what happened to Job. Now, the devil doesn't push the God of heaven around. But the devil goes to God and he says, you're bribing the man. That's why he's serving you. You're bribing him. That's why he fears you. Who wouldn't fear God if they got treated the way he does? Why, absolutely nothing can happen to them. Everything's just perfect. Everything's rosy. Neither disease, nor famine, nor flood, nor anything. Everything's just wonderful. Everything's going, he's just multiplying hand over fist. You bribe them. God says, as much as God says, oh yeah? When it's all over, God says, you move me against him. God's taking the blame. And you know what else God says to you? Without a cause. Without a cause! God says there's no reason why my servant Job should have to suffer like that. No reason why. Without a cause. Of course, Job had his three friends. Well known. Bildad the Shuhite, Zophar the Naamathite, and Eliphaz the Temanite. And by the way, Eliphaz the Temanite was Job's great uncle. And for those of you interested in studying your Bible, Amalek was a son of Eliphaz the Temanite. Amalek was a son of Eliphaz the Temanite that had more to say than any of those three men in this book of Job. Job's friends come along. Oh dear, terrible Job, terrible, terrible, awful. So then when they got their mouth open and started to talk, they said, you know, Job, you must be wicked. You must be wicked. What have you done? Come on now, confess. What have you done? Do you think God would ruin you like that if you weren't wicked? You must have done something terrible, Job. Terrible. Huh. Had he? What did God say here? Without a cause. Without a cause. There's no reason why God's servant Job should have to suffer all that. Verse 4. Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. That's a big fat lie. Of course, Satan is a champion liar. Listen, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. All that a man hath will he give for his life. Tell me something. What has Job got? What has Job got that the devil wants? One thing. I thought he's got one thing the devil wants. And that's why he ruined him. He wants one thing from this man Job. All that a man hath will he give for his life. Will he? No, he won't. He'll do nothing of the kind. And this is proof of it. What did Job have that Satan wants? One thing. What's that? Don't forget, I'm going to tell you. He wanted that man's confidence in his God. That's what he wanted. That's that. You give up your confidence in God and the devil will give you everything you want. That's the one thing Satan's after. In all men and women. Give up your confidence in God. And that's what Satan's after. He says, okay, you pray. You wouldn't let me touch him. Let me get at him. And he will curse you to your face. So God says, okay. Verse 6, behold, he's in thy hand. But save his life. Don't kill him. Well, a lot of good that would do. Send a man home to heaven. That wouldn't prove anything. So Satan went forth in the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown.
That's the crown of his head. And he took him a potsherd, Job did, to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. You think she wasn't suffering? She's lost her 10 children. She's had it. She's had enough. She's fed up. She can't take any more. He said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. What happened? Job absolutely refused to give up his confidence in his God. He wouldn't do it. And he ruined. He's a man covered with boils. Covered with it. That man was in agony. Listen, one is too many for me. Thank you. One boil is too many. Here's a man, he's covered with him from head to foot. You think that man wasn't suffering? He must have been excited. And they didn't have morphine in those days to alleviate his suffering or anything else. He's just there, sitting in the ashes, suffering. And he's got nothing. It's absolutely ruined, including his health. What's going to happen to him? That man honored his God, and he would not give up his confidence in his God. He clung to his God, and he said, even though he kills me, I'll trust him anyway. You know, the devil can't do a thing with a person like that. End of a thing. So after his friends had held all they wanted to say, and after God had spoken to him and shown him some things he'd never thought of before, I won't go into that, but I want to take your time. After the story was all told, what happened? Job was healed. And then what happened? Well, you can read the last chapter just the same as I can. The last chapter is always easy. I'm not going to turn to it, but listen. God gave Job back twice as much as he had before. He had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses and 10 more children. In chapter 1, God says, my servant Job. In chapter 2, God says, my servant Job. In chapter 42, four times over, God says, my servant Job. God was proud of that man. Why? He wouldn't give up his confidence. And his God, he wouldn't give it up to the devil. God gave him back twice as much as he had before. Oh, but listen. He didn't give him 20 children. Why not? Because he never lost the first 10. You know where Job is today? He's in heaven with all 20 of his children. The first 10 and the last 10. So he didn't lose the first 10. He lost the cattle. He didn't lose the children. The devil just sent them to heaven ahead of Job. Job's in heaven today with all 20 of his children. I'm absolutely sure of it. A man who feared his God and was responsible, accepted the responsibility before his God for his children. God gave him double. And you know what else God did? God went to his three friends that accused him and said, you must be wicked. God went to those men and he says, you'll go to my servant Job and he'll pray for you. I won't accept you. You have not said the thing that's right concerning me like my servant Job. And they had to eat humble pie and go and apologize to Job. And ask Job to pray to God for them. I tell you, friend, there's nothing in this world that God appreciates more than the confidence of his creatures, the confidence of men. So that's the kind of God that people need. A God who's big enough for us. A God you can trust. A God that will stand behind you. And if you haven't got anything, less than that, I appeal to you, you make sure you're in the right relationship with the living and true God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a wonderful Savior we have, you know. He's a wonderful Savior. The Apostle Peter says, he cares for you, and he cares for me every day, and he'll care for you too. But if you want your God to honor you, you honor him. That's the kind of God we have. And God has never, ever failed a man or a woman that has put their trust in him and not given up that confidence in the living and true God. Let us pray. Our Father, blessed be thy name. We are greatly blessed. It is wonderful to have been brought into a right relationship with thee through the death of the Savior on the cross, who put away our sins
and has brought us nigh to God. We enjoy this near place, and we desire with all our heart to honor our God in our lives day by day. Thou art worthy to be honored. We're going to stand face to face with our God someday. All men are. Oh, how wonderful to know that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have received reconciliation. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and we thank you the Lord Jesus is coming back again, and he's going to take us to be with himself. Happy day. Oh, may it be soon. And may he come and reign supreme in this poor, lost, suffering, sick world and put all things right. He only is able, and he's going to do it. And blessed be his name, we shall reign with him. Part us with thy blessing now, we humbly beseech of thee, and accept of our sincere thanks. And may it please our God to bring us back again tomorrow night, if the Lord be not come, in his worthy and wonderful name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.